Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Hey. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. This is Elder Oliver, and I'm filling in for Bishop Omar. He's on the line, but he will not be able to talk this evening, and we're going to get ready to get started with Praise Tabernacle Bible study tonight. We have Elder Bluett that will be teaching the class tonight. We also have Evangelist Staten on the line as well, and we just want to say good evening to all those that are listening on the internet and those that are called in on the phone lines. We just want to say good evening to you and thank you for joining us tonight. Again, Bishop is on the line, but he just can't talk. He's at his son's baseball game, and we just want to send heads up to him, our leader, and say, what's up, Bishop Zachary? I know you can't talk, and I know you're saying the what's up back to us as well, and we feel you in spirit. But tonight, we're going to have a great Bible study. But before we get started with Bible study, I'm going to open up with prayer, but I also want to say a good evening to our new listeners over in the UK and London. We are being live for the next 60 minutes over there. So we just want to say what's up to everyone over there. And thank you for being a part of Praise Tabernacle Bible study tonight. I'm going to open up with prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Elder Bluett. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight. Father God, we want you to just have your way tonight, Father God. Father God, give the listeners the ear to hear your word. And Father God, not just only be hearers of your word, but be doers of your word. And Father God, give the teacher the words to say. And Father God, and just touch him right now as he brings forth the word of God. And Father God, bless the listeners, bless our leaders right now. Bless all those that are part of Praise Tabernacle. We just want to send a special prayer to all the members of Praise Tabernacle Church, and Father God, just continue to bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Elder Bluett, it's on you.
Amen, amen. I totally am in agreement with that prayer, amen. Good evening, everybody. Hope everybody's well. I know everybody's blessed because God woke you up this morning. That's one reason to celebrate today. So tonight, I want to come out of book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, starting at chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to keep in mind or keep somewhere subconsciously about I don't usually give a title when I'm teaching, but I will give this title, and it's to stay united. To stay united. United and stay united with each other. Amen. So the book of Ephesians is a very, very good book. It kind of emphasizes the church being the body of Christ. So it's a book of unity, a book of being united, a book of knowing who you are in Christ and how we ought to display our lives in Christ. Amen. It's wrote by the Apostle Paul, amen, who has the most books in the New Testament. But Paul was a great apostle, a great ambassador for Jesus Christ. And he was writing to the Ephesian church in chapter 4. Chapter 1, 2, and 3 had already went through how they should be, who God is, and what God should mean to them. Now in chapter 4, he wants to talk about being united, using the gifts that God has given you to even unite a church. Amen, amen. So this is Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, and he starts it off in Ephesians 4:1, where he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Yeah, and that word vocation means as a Christian, as you're being called, or a position as you're being called, but you're being called to do the work of God. To do the work of Jesus Christ. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I beg you, I'm asking you that you walk worthy of the vocation with which you are called. And it's true that God does call us to do certain things in our life. He does call us to do things. Paul has just wanted to tell us to just be worthy of even being called. Amen. So let's look at what Paul wrote about as far as how we ought to live, how we ought to walk, how we ought to display ourselves. So verse 2, with all lowliness, with all lowliness. God hates a proud look. God loves modesty. Nobody can be proud but God, but we have to be lowliness. We don't have to puff ourselves up. We don't have to look this, that, and the other way against to other people. We're not presenting ourselves as ourselves to people, but we should be presenting God in a Christ-like way of acting with all lowliness and meekness. Some people think that meekness is being weak, but it's not. You can have the strongest man in the world have meekness. And it's something about being strong enough to be meek. And that's how we ought to present ourselves to people. That's how they ought to see us, as being able to be, even to approach us. And I'm talking to Christians right now. So the characteristics is meekness, meaning humility exhibited in greatness or gentleness. The opposite of self-assertion. A harsh spirit toward others does not demonstrate Jesus' love. That's one thing we got to remember. A harsh spirit, a harsh personality does not demonstrate anything of Jesus when we're among people. And we kind of wonder why this didn't go right or that didn't go right. Well, how did the conversation go this, that, or the other way? Whatnot. And you can kind of see by just hearing this right now, or even reading it, it's ourselves. But we have to be careful with all lowliness and meekness and long suffering. Long suffering means that to have patience with somebody, have patience with a group of people, have patience on your job, have patience in your life. Long suffering. And even though the situation may go on for a long time or quite a bit of time, we have to have long patience that God's going to work it out. And we have to believe that he is going to work it out. Long suffering. You know, I've been in a situation where I didn't have it. I honestly will say that. I didn't have it. I had to catch myself. The flesh wants to just jump. The flesh wants to immediately react with the wrong reaction. But we have to, as we practice these things, we get used to doing these things, and it does, and your flesh will not just jump out first, but it'll be your lowliness and your meekness and your long suffering that jumps out first. That's called maturity, or maturing in the spirit, getting better at it. We're not perfect. We're seeking, but we're not perfect. But bearing one another in love. You know, it's some people I can't stand. I'm first to say, some people I can't stand, but I love them. There's some people that I don't anymore, but I still love them. Every time we get together, it's something or something or something, and it makes me shake my head. So I have to watch. I have to consider my ways at times. Is it me that when we get together, when a certain person get together, that it's me that's making this happen? And I can truly say, it's not me. I can truly say that. So instead of me aggravating the situation, you know, some folk love to argue. Some folk love to get there. I'm just not one of them anymore. I just leave it alone. I still love you. In the name of Jesus, I still love you. But we don't gel together. You got something, Evangelist Stedden, you want to put in there?
I do. I like that. First scripture, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation. And, you know, sometimes people think vocation, means maybe being a minister or a pastor or evangelist. But you know what? Your vocation as a child of God can be to walk in love. Your vocation as a child of God can be to walk in peace. Your vocation as a child of God can be to walk in forgiveness. It's not just being a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher or a prophet. It could just be that God has called you to walk in love, because as Christians, we're supposed to walk in love. We're supposed to walk in forgiveness and peace. So I want to encourage people. It doesn't just mean for pastors or teachers, but it's for all of us to walk in the things that are Christ-like. That's a vocation, the things that are Christ-like. And we got to have the Holy Spirit in order to do those things daily, to do them daily. Because, you could be in your car and somebody cut you off and you not walk in the vocation of a sound mind. You know, you will lose it because somebody cut you off. But God has called you to walk in a sound mind and to keep those things at the forefront of your mind that you're supposed to walk in love. That's all I have to say, Elder. Thank you for this scriptures on tonight.
That's good. That's right on point. To bear with one another in love, we are to patiently put up with one another in spite of our indifferences. These qualities go a long way in maintaining unity among believers. The Holy Spirit desires such unity for results in peace among us. And remember, we're talking about unity. We're talking about being together in one accord. Showing our Christ-like attributes to others, our mannerism to others. So with verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And I was saying earlier, there's some folk that, you know, we just don't get along with. We just don't. It's not meant to get along with everybody, but we can agree to disagree and still be friends, or we can still be family. Or we can still be associates, or we can still be what was meant to be, but we don't have to have, you know, sometimes we can't have that close relationship. And there's some people that's going to be in your life for a season, and some people going to be in your life for a long time, you know, for a lifetime. So we're in Ephesians 4, we're at verse 3 now. Ephesians 4 and 3, we're talking about being united or in Christ, united in Christ as a church. So verse 3 of Ephesians 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Come on now. So unity among believers was Paul's emphasis in the beginning, even in chapter 1. There is now just one body, which is the church. Jesus is our peace, who have made both one, broken down the middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles. So the disagreements we had between one another, Jesus broke that wall or that partition that was between us, every man, woman, and child. So Jesus has broken down what we saw was a hindrance to love one another. He made it capable for us to reach across the aisle, shake one another's hand, or hug one another, or help one another out. Jesus became our help to do that by sending his Holy Spirit. Now, all this flesh that we have is not going to do all these things that Jesus would have us to do in the vocation with what he called us in, right? The vocation, like Evangelist Samuel said, could be a preacher, it could be an elder, it could be a leader, it could be just a Christian. It could be just somebody just wanting to be Christ-like. It could be anybody. So whatever he called you in is the gift, and we'll get to that part. The vocation is speaking of the gift, and we'll get to that. So verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is no body. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called and one hope of your calling. There is one Holy Spirit who indwells both the church as a whole and individual believers. Our one hope, our one hope is of what is still coming in the future. Now, that hope that we should all have as believing in the name of Jesus Christ is an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and is being reserved for us right now. So what did Jesus say when he was talking to his disciples? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's preparing that place for each and every one of us right now. Those of you who are listening have not given your life to Christ, he's preparing a place for you for when you do. So this is the hope that we're waiting on. This is the hope that we have in us. As believers, we also just one Lord, one Jesus. One Lord, Jesus Christ. So endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. We look for that rest. We look, our hope is to look for that rest. Our hope is to look for to be with Jesus for eternity in heaven. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One baptism, mostly like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is placed in each of us in the body of Christ. The one Lord is Jesus, faith in him and his works at Calvary, and the one result is being placed in his body. See? Even though our own vessel of flesh would have us to do this, that, or the other, or to do have us to do what's not like Christ because we're still in his flesh. And hear me out. As a Christian, while we are still at home in his flesh, it's tempting. The flesh is tempting us at all times. So as we learn to be meek, as we learn to forbear one another in love, as we learn about the unity of the Spirit, as we know that there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called and one hope of your calling, as we mature and learn these things and study the Word of God, we get better at not doing sin. We get better at not doing sin. So the unity, we're talking about being unified, one Lord in verse 5 of Ephesians 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
One Lord, one baptism. All right, so we'll take a break right quick. I think it's just a minute or two, and we'll come right back. All right.
You're listening to The Sound.
I just want to tell the truth. I just want to tell the truth.
thank and praise God for everyone joining us on tonight for our Tuesday night Bible study. Very, very awesome and great lesson from Elder Blewett on tonight. Tonight we would like to give you the opportunity to be a blessing to the ministry. We ask that you don't give grudgingly or under compulsion, but out of a cheerful heart. And whatever that means to you financially, then that's what you give. There are two ways that you can give. One is by Cash App. Our Cash App is $PTC877. Once again, that is P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or you can give by credit card or debit card or PayPal. Our office telephone number is 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. And you can give whatever your heart desires. If you say on tonight that you only have a dollar to give and you want to be a blessing, that dollar can be a blessing and it can be multiplied. We thank you for listening on tonight. We're going to turn it back over to Elder Blewett, who is coming from Ephesians chapter 4 on unity. Back to you, Elder.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So we're in Ephesians chapter 4. We're at verse 6. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the final piece of that verse, what he was saying from verse 4, 5, and 6, the final piece of the foundation mentioned by Paul is God, the Father of all. Without him, none of the truths mentioned already would be reality. None of anything that exists right now would not be without God. Without God. So verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everything that has been provided for unity in the body of Christ is available only because of God's grace. From the unity we have as a body to individual gifts that enable us to participate in this body, how does the believer discover his gifts? How does the believer discover and develop his gifts? By Christians in the local assembly. For we forsake not the assembly of ourselves as the manner of some is. See, it's good to go to church. A lot of folks say, well, I can just listen to it on TV. Well, who are you fellowshipping with? When you go to church, and I'm not trying to persuade you or say that you have to. I'm just telling you how I feel and a lot of Christians do feel. If you go to church, you're around other people that love the same thing that you love. You're around other people that may be hurt. May be healed, but you want to hear the testimony of others to know that God still has a plan for your life, that God still exists, that God is still yet available for us to call on him just by even the testimony of others that God helped them. So to assemble ourselves is how we get better. To assemble ourselves is how we even may discover our gifts. See? And sometimes when you go to church, you see something not done, or you see something that could be done better, or you see a need for anything. That could be something that comes readily and easily available to you. That's a gift. See? And we'll get to this in this lesson. We'll get to how everybody in the church has a gift. God has given everybody that has been born a gift, giving them something that comes easy to them to do. And they would do it without even pay. And if they was getting paid for, it wouldn't be like you was going to work. You were just doing what you love to do. And we ought to learn and live and love to be a Christian. It's just so much fun in being a Christian. To me, it's fun being a Christian. Because you can see things coming, and knowing it's not you, knowing it may even hurt you, and you can turn a blind eye to it and don't even entertain. It's just fun being a Christian to me. That's just one way I put it. So, yeah. The words in Ephesians 4:8, right? Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity. He took sin. He took death. He took whatever that could corrupt us. He took that would keep us captive, and gave gifts unto men, meaning that when he told his disciples, I go and prepare a place for you, and there where I am, you will be. And he said, when I go to my Father, I will send you the Holy Ghost. I will send you the Holy Spirit to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you.
Yes.
Not only that, to strengthen you to talk about me, but to also strengthen you in your daily walk, to be unified mm-hmm. with your brothers and sisters. And it's not just by this flesh and blood. It's not just ourselves that keep ourselves away from corruption, but it's the spirit inside of us that talks to us. And sometimes yeah. you say, well, did you hear that? Well, no, I did not hear that, brother. I did not hear that, sister. That was something talking to you.
Mm.
You know how when you were growing up, you was going to do something wrong. You set out to do something wrong, and before you got there to do what you was going to do wrong, something kind of spoke to you not to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Me, Father, that when he catch me, he was going to, you know, tear me apart. But now, like, as I'm walking, you can readily hear or you can readily feel a negative going to do something negative.
Mm.
It's that split second or that split minute to make a choice.
Okay.
Adhere to that. That's your help that's available to you from God, from Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
So verse 8 actually came from Psalm 68 and 18 with reference that speaks of much about military might and victory. A military leader who returns from battle as a victor has the right and privilege of granting gifts to those who were part of his army or to those awaiting home. In this case, Jesus is portrayed as the victor, ascending into the presence of God, leading those once captive to sin into spiritual delivery and victory. These are the recipients of gifts. See? He didn't just die. He wasn't just buried in a borrowed new tomb. He wasn't just resurrected, but he went to God for another purpose, and that purpose was for us.
Yeah.
We gotta be careful. We shouldn't have vain of Christian like attitude. We shouldn't be vain about it. We should be happy that somebody on our behalf took it upon themselves to give us a gift of the Holy Ghost that we need strength to sustain ourselves while we are yet still living. That we can go to him at the end of our lives and be with him forever. You got anything you've understood?
Man, Elder, this is powerful. This is powerful. We don't have to try to do it by ourselves because we can't. We don't have to, you know, we're not alone in this walk. We're not alone in this journey. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to help remind us. You know, that's why it's so important to read the word, because God will give us the meaning. God will give us the education in the word. And there will be situations you will be in. The Holy Spirit would bring that word back to you immediately, like you said, to stop you in your tracks, to say, wait a minute, no, don't go that direction. I need you to go to another direction. But it takes us getting into the presence of God. It takes us to take some time out and to read. We have to take some time out and pray. We have to take some time out and have worship with God, because we got to build up that holy man inside of us, because we have gone so much into sin. We have built up that sin man real good. Now we got to build up that good man inside of us so that the Holy Spirit can bring back to our remembrance. We are not by ourselves on this journey. There may be some days when we feel like, you know, we by ourselves, you know, But you're not. Just because God is quiet doesn't mean he's not talking. It just means you need to get quiet so you can hear. You know, you just need to get quiet so that you can hear what God is saying. So this is good, Elder. Thank you, sir. That's all I got to say about that.
That's good. I'm going to let you just get the next few of them. That's good. That is good. That's good. So, let's go to verse 9, Ephesians 4, verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended, first into the lower parts of the earth? Now this verse right here has like two or three meanings to it that even the scholars could not come together and agree on. But I'm going to give you those three of what the commentary is about verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended, first into the lower parts of the earth? So the difficulty in Paul's explanation and his reference of Jesus' descent, there are at least three major different views regarding what he meant. Some think that since ascending refers to his return to heaven, descending must refer to his coming down to earth and his incarnation as a baby boy. That's one. Others prefer to think that his descent refers to the grave he occupied after his crucifixion, not just his coming to the earth. It was from there that he arose and later ascended to his Father. All right, so here's the third commentary on that verse, verse 9. The third possibly is that when he descended into the lower regions of the earth, he actually went down into Hades, or what we call hell, most likely at some point between his resurrection and his ascension. What is most important to understand that through his death and resurrection, Christ returned to his Father victorious and assures us of eternity with him. That's what's important to believe. But yet, the Bible does talk about him going into hell and speaking to those who went before us, speaking to those who are already in hell. But see, everybody has to hear the word of God in order for there to be a conviction at judgment. If you never heard the word of God, you can't get convicted, if that makes any sense, what I just said. So since you heard the word of God and you chose not to obey or be obedient to the word of God, on the day of judgment is your judgment. Right? All right. So Ephesians 4, verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So we know that he came down to fulfill the Old Testament, to fulfill the law, to fulfill the law that we could not fulfill. Nobody has ever fulfilled those. Jesus came down to fill that. He came down to take care of that. He came down to put that to rest. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And now we'll talk about gifts, or we'll talk about people. We're still talking about unity in the church. We're talking about unity amongst each other, amongst the men, amongst the women, amongst family, amongst the church. We're talking about the assembly of the church right now. And Paul's talking to the Ephesians. He wanted the Ephesians to be more united. He wanted them to be more of one, on one accord, as we should be now. So just to break for 1 second on, since this pandemic, think about how your church was before the pandemic. Think about, and I'm sure you've thought about some things that could have been done better. I'm sure you've thought about, you know, your own actions, my own actions, how we could have did this better than what we did. We have a break right now. I don't believe the pandemic is going to be forever. I believe the church is still going to open up, and God is going to make everything all right. I believe that. So think about how it was. And after tonight, think about how it can be even better. So Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The apostles and the prophets of the Old Testament and of the New Testament were the ones that formed the first churches, right, that he's talking about here, that Paul is talking about here, the establishment of the church. right? Now we still have prophets that were still in the New Testament. We have evangelists, and there were evangelists with Paul. Paul was considered the evangelist, right? So that went and formed churches, that went and preached the word of God in their ways and repented and believed in the name of Jesus Christ. Evangelists are the ones that go out and preach the word, encourage folk by the word of God, and to build their hope up in the word of God, establish something, and move on. That's why Paul went from place to place to place, establishing church after church after church. He was doing evangelism, and we have that today. Evangelist Stanton is an evangelist, and she's awesome and powerful. So these are some of the things that God did. These are some of the principles or foundation that God put in the church to create and teach unity. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, pastors and teachers, that's one person to oversee the church and teach. Pastors and teachers, that's actually just one person. To oversee, be the overseer of the church and teach. What are they teaching? They're teaching the word of God. They're teaching about the characteristics of God, the attributes of God, what should be in us because of God, that the church can grow. And he's teaching others how to evangelize, how to speak, how to be, how to show yourself worthy of the vocation that God has called you for. So verse 12, for the perfecting, and this is why these were chosen, or these why the standards were put there by God, or this is what was spoke by Paul to the Ephesians. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's for the maturing of that word in this context means maturing of the saints. Perfecting means maturing of the saints. We got to start somewhere. Don't ever think that because you think somebody is so high, which they shouldn't be portrayed as being high, but if you see somebody so high, don't put yourself beneath them that because you don't know this, that, or the other. Uh-uh. You have to mature just like they have matured. Now, it shouldn't be a problem when that person that is so high get with somebody that's just coming into Christ that it should be a conflict. We're talking about unity, and this is what Paul is talking about. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ as one, everybody being on one accord. Now, you do have some leaders out there that just want the high seats. You have some leaders out there that will walk right in the church and walk straight up to the pulpit. That's just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees wanting the highest seats in the room, right? So what a pastor or an elder or a leader, when they come into the church, they normally just sit in the back. And I'm just talking about our church, and I've seen it in other churches where I would go get them and bring them up. That's called meekness and humbleness. And so when we all come together, it shouldn't be, oh, he a leader, I got to do this, that. No. We are the children of God, how it should be. Leadership should not be a burden to anybody. And I'll say that again. Leadership, somebody in a place of position, should not be a burden to anybody. Matter of fact, that person or persons should be the most humblest people in the church. Why? Because they are servants. Father in heaven, that would correct a servant. You got some preachers out there don't even know they've been fired by God, and they're still trying to preach and teach. Don't even know they've been fired. But let's move on. So to have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the leading the saints in the right direction, leading the saints on the right path, encouraging the saints to want more, be eager to get more. See, we ought to be hungry. As long as we live, I don't care if you're 90 years old, as long as we live, we ought to be hungry and thirsty for more of the word of God, for the more of the attributes of God, for more to do something for, you should be itching to do something for somebody. You ever been in a state of mind where you want to take even your own life? And somebody says something to you, or somebody happened to just come up at that moment. It could be a coincidence that they just happened to be there, but I believe in God sending people into our lives. I believe in God sending situations in another direction. So, yeah, leaders ought to be the servants, you know, the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the body meaning the people of the church. We should all be on one accord giving God praise. We should all be on one accord to help this person, to help that person, exhort that person, exhort this person.
Yes.
The unity for the edifying of the body of church, to give God glory, not us.
Yes.
Till we all come to the unity of the faith, meaning that we all become mature in the faith. So we all come in the unity of the faith, meaning mature. Unity right there means mature in the faith. Some of us got a long way to go, but we have to be long-suffering, forbearing one another. Just because they didn't get it that Sunday, you can't get upset with that person because they didn't get it then.
Right.
Maybe they'll get it next. Maybe they'll get it 2 years from now. But we have to be long-suffering in love toward one another. And not put anybody down. The moment you think you got it, you lost it.
That's right. That's right.
The moment you think you're better than somebody, you lost it. That's an HR call for God to just look into you to get ready to fire you.
Come on, man.
And that, you don't even know when they got fired. Understand?
Elder, that's good. I like that. I like to also look at it this way. When we talk about edifying of the body of Christ, I like to use this example. If you've ever hit your toe, say you hit it on the end of the bed, or you hit it on the chair, immediately your hand goes down to comfort your toe. So my hand knows what it's supposed to do. It's there to give, to help, to extend. My feet, they're there for walking. So my body is not confused. My feet doesn't try to take the position of the hand. And my hand does not try to take the position of the feet. So my hand, they don't. When I get up in the morning to get up off the bed, I get up out the bed with my feet, so they know what they're supposed to do. And then I go into my prayer closet, or, you know, and I lay down and I use my hands to spread my cover, so my hands know what they're supposed to do. In the body of Christ, we each have a position, and we just got to understand it's okay if you're the hand. It's okay if you're the toe, because
watch out.
If you see somebody and they need some words of encouragement, if that's a gifting that God has given you, you're supposed to use that word of encouragement and encourage them. If you have hope, you're supposed to share that hope with somebody. Know what your position is, and it's okay that you're in that position. So when I do stub my toe, and my hands go to comfort my foot, I go to grab it and rub it and comfort it, it's okay. My hands, they're cool with what position they have to play in the body. And we got to be okay with the position that God has called us in the body of Christ. Even if we're not an evangelist or a minister, but we're in the vocation of walking in love and forgiveness, then that's what we're supposed to do in the body of Christ. The position is still just as important as being a pastor. The position is just as important still to God, because you're going to help somebody through a tough situation, whereas they may not go to the church. They may not get to a pastor, or an evangelist may not reach them, but you may reach them with the love of Christ.
Come on.
So you're edifying the body no matter your position. Even if you are armed, be the best arm that God has called you to be. Because guess what? Somebody can rest on that arm. Somebody who got very tired, they can gain strength from that arm. Be what God has called you to be and be the best at it, because it's a great position to edify the body of Christ. That's good, Elder. I'll turn it back over to you, sir.
We might stop right there. Oh, that's good. That's good. That is so, so understanding. That was, oh, God. All right, let me try to get back in this. Let me see. We're in Ephesians. We're in Ephesians 4. We at 13. We're going to go right into 14. Ephesians 4, 13 and 14. Till we all come in the unity of faith and acknowledge and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, meaning a mature man or a mature woman in the faith, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, that we be no, that we not be unmature, that we not be ready for every quick turn of the flesh, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro by the and carried about with every wind of doctrine, that we have studied our word, that we can't, you can't just come to somebody that's been studying their word and say this, that, or the other about God or about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're going to know it's not right. See, and there's a lot of folks, I don't argue about the word with them. I may show them what it does say, and we move on. But I don't argue about it because I have evidence that it says this, not what was mentioned. So we got to be careful. So I'm not, everybody is not going to mature at the same time. And that's where the long suffering comes in, the meekness comes in. That's when the forbearing comes in. For those of you who are at a certain point versus a babe in Christ, it should be utilized, or if that's the word, or it should be united as a body of the church, as people coming together on one accord. And I think I've said that about two or three times. It's all about unifying one another in Christ. So that we henceforth, in verse 14, henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slay of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's always going to be somebody that the devil has put in your path to deter you from getting closer to Christ. If you don't believe me, read this chapter. Read that verse. Remember that verse. Let it sink into your subconscious. And as your daily walk goes on every day, believe what I've said. The closer you get to God, the more that's going to be in front of you. God has ordered your steps. Stay on path. Don't get off course because of what somebody else may have said. So if you go back to chapter 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the teaching of the saints, for the unity of the saints. In what? In the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the word of God. So verse 15, and we got one more after that, and we'll be done. So verse 14, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But speaking the truth in love. Now those, and actually those who are mature, you know, sometimes we cannot have too much patience to teach the word of God or to speak on the word of God. And we tend to speak down on people, and that's not only in the church, but in life itself, how we tend to, if we think we're better than somebody, we speak down to people. So just by saying that, read that first, I'm going to read the eight clause again. but speaking the truth in love. And those of us who's had kids, I've got five. I've got the last one just graduated high school. But when I speak to my kids, there are a lot of times I could just sit down and talk to them about if they have done something wrong, just sit down and talk to them because I love them. I don't have to holler at them. I don't have to hit them. I don't have to do this. I can just talk to them. And I know how to talk to each and every one of my kids differently that I know they understand. See? I think I've only had one I had to really, really whoop a lot. But the other one I can just talk to, and they'll start crying. But it's out of love that I spend that time on what's right and what's wrong. Because I don't want them to see, I don't want to see them go through the things I went through. And as a Christian, in the body of Christ, we ought to be able to teach and preach and guide so that others won't go through what we went through. That's what it is. Every person that comes along ought to be a stepping stone for that person. See? I would rather take the advice of somebody that went through something and came out of that something than the advice of somebody don't even know what I'm talking about. That's why the book, the word says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves as the manner of some is. Because with the assembly of ourselves, we can exhort one another. We can help one another. We can encourage one another. And that's talking about the assembly of the church. Paul just wants unity. And you know, with unity, you can conquer mostly all things. With unity, there says to this, what is it? There's strength in numbers. Even your families, your friends, there's strength in numbers when you're on one accord. So I got one verse to go. Evangeline, do you have anything else before we hit this last verse?
No, Elder. Thank you, sir.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to finish up. And we're going to go 15, 16 real quick. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, grow up into Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So verse 16, last verse of Ephesians 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. What's the joint? The individuals that make up the church. The individual gifts that make up the church. The individual people that make up the body of Christ, the church. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Bring your Don't be scared of your gift. Your gift helps the unifying of the body. No, I think it was mentioned earlier, nothing small is too small not to be done. Worry about what you bring. Just bring it. That's your vacation, your vocation. That's your position. That's your calling of God. In verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What's your gift? Bring it to the table. And it's God that spreads the table before in the presence of our enemies. Why would we have somebody occupying a seat with no plate? Why would we have somebody occupying a seat with no gift? Whatever you think your gift is, and you do it with little effort and you enjoy doing it, that's your gift. And I think I said it earlier, you will do that. Even if you got paid for your gift, you wouldn't even be at work because you love what you do. So, verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, whatever you bring to the table, your gift to the table, your gift to the church, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part of everybody doing their part, of everybody in the family, loving one another, in unity in one another, doing their part, happy household, happy church, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So as we teach others, we ought to teach others how to teach also. As we evangelize with others,
We ought to teach them how to spread the word of God also, because the latter part of verse 16 maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So that's it for tonight. It was in Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 16, talking about unity, being together, being on one accord, humbleness toward one another, meekness toward one another, forbearing one another, indifference, unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And God can give us and does give us a peace that we can't even understand, that we can't explain. You cannot explain what God puts on you sometimes. You ever had the Holy Ghost fall on you or something fall? I'm going to say something to those who don't know, but I will tell you of the Holy Ghost of those who do know. It come on you and you're laughing and you're crying at the same time. But you're so emotionalized and messed up. Your emotions are so messed up, you don't know how to take this feeling that God puts on you. That is God touching you. And we can't describe that touch. I can't. I don't know if anybody who can fully describe that touch. So I'll leave you with tonight that God wants us to love one another. He wants us to help one another. He wants us to encourage one another. He don't want us to be open. He don't want us to be above anybody. And if you're a leader, you're a servant first, right? You uplift, you teach, you moderate, and you unify, and you build. So I know at work we shouldn't just have people working for us. I'm in management, so I shouldn't just have people working for me that I do not teach to be in my same position and show people how to do what you do. And then they'll take that and do even better than you. So we ought to unify one another, be with one another, encourage one another, forsake not the assembling of ourselves. When this pandemic is over, we ought to see churches filled, ready to get back. Some folks need to go once a week just to keep their mind right. I try to reach out as much as I can to people, see how they're doing, because you never know. So, yeah, let's hold on to God's word that it is true, the gospel is true, and unify with one another and keep one another in peace. Amen. All right. Did you have anything else you've been understanding before we close out here?
No, Elder, you said it all. To love one another, forgive, to encourage. That's what God has called us to do. You know, now and every day, be mindful to keep God's word in front of us and to choose. I think I said this on last week on my mirror in the bathroom. I've written these words. Today, I choose God. So every morning I say that. Today, I choose God. And in choosing God, I'm choosing to love. I'm choosing to forgive. I'm choosing to suffer long with people. So we just got to keep that in front, because guess what? God is choosing us. So we should definitely choose him. Thank you, Elder, for this lesson on tonight. I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you all who have been on tonight. I hope you got something out of this. I hope you choose to lean on God, to lean on Jesus Christ. I hope you choose to go that way. A long time ago, I thought it wasn't, but it is. It's good on this side. It's good to be on the side of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for all the listeners. We thank you for Elder Oliver and this platform. I thank you for Evangelist Stanton. I thank you for our pastor who may be on as well. I thank you that you have woken us up this morning. That's the first blessing of the day. I thank you for those that you're going to send your healing health to. I thank you for those that you're going to help tonight, amen, to have a peaceful sleep. I thank you for those that help to them and their families. Father God, I ask that you give us all strength to be together in unity. I pray that you give us all strength to forgive one another. I pray that you would show us humiliation, that we do not put ourselves above anybody, and that you give us strength to endure situations that may take a long time, but I pray that you give us strength to endure the situation and still come out in love. Father God, take those that are under you and grant them these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. And before we depart, we always quote in our church Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where it says, to go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to always observe everything I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Good night and greetings at the same time.
You're listening to The Sound.
I just want to tell you.